This meeting is being recorded.
Good morning. Welcome to the International Association, Mastermind Association of Blog Talk Radio and Facebook and Zoom. We are live broadcasting on all of those for you to bring Think and Grow Rich to you this morning and every Saturday morning. We're so excited, but I tell you what, when you heard that music, if you jumped up and danced, that's good. That's where you are. Or if you got a cup of coffee, relax. You may be home. So get ready to hear some wonderful things this morning from our team to you. And also you can participate in chat and Zoom and Facebook message, whatever means you want to use to communicate to us and get your questions across to us, do so. Before we get started, I would like to introduce the team, the people that you hear every Saturday morning. And we're going to start with the Master Builder.
How did I know? Listen, let me tell you something. I'm going to start my brief comments to just say that I am so excited to be here. But again, every day I'm excited to be anywhere. Okay. But again, I'm not apologizing. No, I'm not apologizing. I am Ann McNeil. I am the Master Builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life and business with this success spouse by Napoleon Hill. And we're talking about the chapter on persistence. I'm not going to go into that. I will pass it now to Galen.
Good morning. Good morning, Galen Bingham, the Leadership Strategist. And this is going to be an amazing show. Not only do we have an incredible topic, this topic, persistence, this is actually the energy, this is the passion, this is the juice that induces faith. So it's really, really important. But we've got an incredible guest as well. So anytime when you have an opportunity to talk to people that are actually living in persistence, that's absolutely going to be a treat. But it's usually just a treat for me just to have a conversation with Dr. Peter James. So, Dr. Peter, what's going on, man?
Good morning to you, Galen. Good morning to you, distinguished colleagues, and, of course, our great guest this morning. I was so persistent to get here this morning that I had to come and join you guys and just say hello. I am Dr. Peter James, the high-performance coach. Excited to be here with you all and excited to dive into this chapter of this phenomenal book, Think and Grow Rich. But you know what? I am not as persistent as Pegeen. Tell us about your persistence this morning.
Well, let me tell you something. I woke up totally confirmed about why I'm supposed to be here, because this is all about you, Thinking and Grow Rich. You know, my motto when I work with my work, I run Power Women Worldwide, and our motto is be bold, be brave, be seen, be heard, and be paid well. And this is all about persistence, because it doesn't happen just by asking, it happens by being. And there's no greater group of people that I would love to be with than these people. Every Saturday morning, we are happy to serve, happy to have fun, looking across to all of you, and, you know, grab your coffee, hold on, because this is just a fun show. Right, Ursula?
Absolutely. And if you wonder what makes the sun rise in the morning, it's Pegeen. But I'm telling you, she works at it. She gets up in the morning and starts talking to us, and we go, where's Pegeen? And then Pegeen arrives, and with all the energy in the world, and we love it. So thank you very much. And that is, in fact, what's going to happen today. We have a wonderful guest, Ms. Marcia Walsh. But before we get into talking about her and hearing her story, what is today, what are we talking about today? It is about persistence. And every failure, according to Think and Grow Rich, brings with it the seed of an equivalent success. So if something, as my grandmother would say, at first it doesn't succeed, just keep working at it. It'll happen. Just be persistent. And eventually you will get what you want and desire. And the book goes on to say, persistence is in the procedure of transmuting desire into monetary equivalent. The basis of persistence is the power of will. People who accumulate great fortunes are generally thought of as cold-blooded and sometimes ruthless. Often they are misunderstood. So I suspect if you're pursuing your dream and you're persistent at it, you're probably misunderstood. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today, how that manifests itself in your life, in our lives, and in general. So our wonderful guest today, Marcia Waltz, and she is the adoring mother of two wonderful children who she calls her king and queen in training. Her professional background includes over two decades of experience in client relationship management. An exceptional communicator, Marcia recently obtained her real estate license and is excited to bring her customer service expertise and strong work ethics to residential real estate sales and property management. Being a member of a large family, including 8 brothers and 4 sisters, and being a single mom, Marcia knows the importance of being supportive and building relationships on solid foundation. While she is reliable and available to support and uplift others, she thrives on positive energy and intentionally strives to protect her peace. And we will hear more about how she has connected with Think and Grow Rich this morning. So good morning, Marcia.
Good morning. It's so exciting to be here, and I'm just humbled to be in the presence of such awesome hosts. So I look forward to being here.
And we look forward to hearing your story about how this book has transformed your life and is continuing to do so. So tell us about when you engage with Think and Grow Rich, what happens?
When I engage with Think and Grow Rich, what happens to me is magic, for me personally. When I started this process, it was introduced to me by Ms. Ann McNeil around the December of 2018. My daughter was doing an internship with her at that time. So we were both introduced to the book at the same time. And I was intrigued by her story. I was curious about the book. I was very inspired after that first meeting with her. And so that started the journey. It started my journey. Shortly thereafter, I became a part of a masterminding group with my sister, my older sister, Laverne, and some other ladies. And I began to slowly but surely see some really great changes in my life as a result of that.
Now, you mentioned having a large family, and now you let us know that you are masterminding with a family member. Mm-hmm. Do you advise that, and or how does that work?
I think in my case, I'm masterminding in a group with my sister. However, my buddy, I wasn't paired with my sister. So it works just fine for me because my sister is someone I admire, I respect, I trust her judgment, and in some areas I aspire to be like her in some ways as well. I'm myself and I love me, so I have my own unique things that I want to keep and hold on to. But yeah, so that was not a problem. That's my first friend outside of myself are my sisters. They're in my inner circle, so that wasn't a problem for me because we had that connection and that trust was there and it was easy to build from there.
And what resonates with you on, as far as persistence is concerned, relative to the book, what's your aha from persistence?
My aha from persistence from the book is basically founded on page 169 and 170. And it's where he highlights the 8 factors of persistence. And then on page 170, he highlights the 16th sentence of the lack of persistence. And what I love about that section is it gives you a comprehensive view. Here are the things you can do to build up your persistence, and also be honest with yourself. Take an honest inventory of where you are with these symptoms. So for me, it was about pulling back the layers and really being honest with myself and say, Marcia, what are you doing to be more persistent in your life in pursuit of your goals and your dreams? And where are you lacking? What can you build on? What you know? So that was a very revealing moment for me, but it was also empowering because I could do something about those areas I wasn't great at, and I could build, you know, on where I was with those areas that I was strong in. So I like that part of the book. I think it's very instructional, and it gives you the key to the castle. You just have to decide to open the door and go in, you know.
It's funny that you went for that particular page because on in the margin, I wrote hard-headed. And before the show, I told everyone that I found out what my grandmother was telling me all those years. It's like, I was hard-headed. If I got something in my head and I wanted to do it, it was heck getting it out because I was persistent. To a fault, but I don't think it's to a fault because I usually got what I wanted. I mean, whatever that was. Until grandmother showed me the errors of my ways if it was something I wasn't supposed to have. But nevertheless, I would go down to the wire. She'd have to show me that that wasn't something I was supposed to have. But I now look at the word hard-headed as persistent. I am determined to move forward in the manner in which I feel will get me to the results that I want, which means it's hard for someone to put me off track. Now, I know we have some people that want to get in on that, and Ms. Ann McNeil, what are your thoughts about that?
I just want to know if a switch was involved. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, it was.
that's my whole thing.
And I tell you how it worked. It was a plumb switch, and if she was, you know, okay just trying to give me a lesson, it had all the leaves on it. But if she wasn't happy with whatever I was doing, she stripped that thing bare.
This is a moment, right? This is one of those moments. The reason I bring that up is because life is the same way. Life is the same way. Life, to all of us, is the same way when it comes to being persistent about that which may not be in our best interest toward that definite purpose or that definite chief aim. And so persistence, like Marcia said, it can go one way, it can go the other way. But I just do believe that as we dig deep into this chapter, and like Marcia is saying, if we're honest, and she called it the keys to the castle, if we're honest with self first and we persist, I have a model that says persist. In my company, it says persist until you succeed. And my daughter added with the spirit of excellence. But I think as long as we have a desire that we're striving or aspiring toward, the persistence works. So I just wanted to just curious if that switch was involved. Go back to you, Ursula.
Oh, yeah, it was. So we have some others that would want to get in on this conversation, too.
I need to get in on this conversation. Just jump
there
in.
You go.
One of the things that, you know, Marcia, you come from a large family, and you talked about your sister. Ursula, you're talking about your grandmother. I think that one of the things that, as you were both talking, and thank you so much for Marcia talking about the page, because I went and I'm looking at page 171. I read it a lot. But a line was popping up, and it clearly is something that our community, the people, you know, each other, and I want to point this out to all of us. On the bottom of page 171, it says, countless numbers of men and women, both young and old, permit relatives to wreck their lives in the name of duty because they fear criticism.
Mm.
Duty does not require anyone to submit to the destruction of one's personal ambitions and the right to live one's own life in one's own way. And that is drawing me in this conversation, because a lot of times we've blocked off, I know that I had blocked off one's personal ambitions by saying, I don't know what I want. I don't know what I want, but not delving into persistently of what do I want. And then the second thing is the right to live one's own life in one's own way. The freedom, you know, we talk about freedom a lot here. The freedom of being able to live one's own life in one's own way, in spite of our families, in spite of others who chose not to live their life, and therefore they're going to layer on top of you what they wanted for their life. That may not be yours. How many doctors, lawyers are out there that gave up that because after all they realized I did it for my parents, not for me? And Marsha, I just want to ask you for a minute. You know, you have a lot of brothers and sisters. Therefore, you were also, from the time you were growing up, having to hear their expectations of you. Was there a moment where you had to, how did you, you said a line that I love, which is, I love me, so I keep me. Can you just talk a little bit about that? Because I think it's really important that people understand, because having a big family, brothers and sisters can really impose their views on you of who they want you to be. And it sounds like you just went, this is me.
Pretty much, yes. You're right. I'm the fourth in line of my siblings. So I had my three older siblings, which included my two older sisters and my older brother. And I think I follow Laverne in that line. So there's always this, you know, she has a maternal quality about her when it comes to me. And you know, I think at some point, once you start having children of your own and you start living life and experiencing life, it's you have no choice. You have to surrender to be yourself or become what everyone else wants you to be. So for me, being me was always, it wasn't always easy and it wasn't always ideal, but it was my authentic self. And you know, it's better and cheaper to be you because everyone else is taken, you know, so you might as well just embrace who you are and just go for it. And when you are you, and it makes you so much more easy to connect with people, there's one less layer, one less area of pretension. So I learned to be my true self. It came later for me in life because, again, I had two phenomenal women as sisters to look up to. And there were really huge shoes to fill. And I think I learned to go to the beat of my own drum. I learned to celebrate my individuality and my own uniqueness. And the more I leveled up, the more I really embraced that idea, I became my most powerful self. And that was the game changer for me. It's good to admire other people. It's good to admire my sisters, but I can't be them. And as much as I admire them and I love them, and there are things that they're doing in their lives that make me like, oh, I wish I had thought, you know, I always have to go back to what works for you. Be you. You're you. And you're beautiful as you are. You're accomplished in your own. And just go with that. And I feel a lot more powerful, a lot more authentic, and a lot more me being that way. So.
Thank you, Galen. I see you smiling. So I'm dying to hear what's going through your mind.
Yeah. So the first thought that went through my mind is note to self, never follow up again, because you hit on the exact question that was tumbling in my mind, just how you're able to maintain persistence as it is to your own identity. So before I get to my question, though, I think it might be valuable to just share some of the other principles that kind of that support this entire success philosophy, so that you can see where persistence fits in. Because even if we just take persistence by itself, it's a worthwhile concept to study. But
Absolutely.
This is part of an overall system. So the first element in this success, actually the success principle, is found in Think and Grow Rich. And this is an amazing book that all of us are reading from. And typically when I get a book that I'm supposed to dive into and study, mm-hmm. I jump right to the first principle. But the author's preference and the introduction of this book is just so powerful because it gives the backstory as to how Napoleon Hill came across these principles by talking to, interviewing some of the most powerful and successful people of his day, that gives you confidence that this isn't just something that he conjured up sitting in a cave somewhere. So the preface and the introduction, really, really important. But the first principle is desire. And desire is the turning point of all achievement. You can't achieve anything that you don't really, really want to accomplish. So that's the first principle. The second principle is faith, which is the visualization of and the belief in the attainment of that thing that you desire. If you don't believe it, you can't achieve it. The next principle is auto-suggestion. That's the medium for influencing the subconscious mind. Next, we have specialized knowledge, personal experiences and observations, and this really just dives into the fact that general knowledge is really, really important. However, no one pays for general knowledge. No one pays what they should for general knowledge. You have to have some sort of specialized knowledge, and we all have it. The question is, do we recognize it, and can we package it in a way where people are willing to pay us in value, pay us the actual value of what that's worth? Next, we go to the principle of imagination, which is the workshop of the mind. After that, it's organized planning, where you're crystallizing your desire into action. It's one thing to want something, but if you don't have a plan for achieving it, then you're just practicing, right? You're just practicing. You've got to have an organized plan for achieving that thing that you desire. And then we get into decision. And decision is literally taken from the Latin root word, which means to cut off all other options but this thing that I've decided that I want to have. Really, really important, because otherwise you're going to procrastinate. And that's the chapter, that's the principle that leads us to persistence. Although you may want something, although you may have a plan for something, you can be pretty much assured and guaranteed that it's not going to go right the first time you try. So you have to be persistent. That's what we're talking about today. Even after you're persistent, the next principle is the power of the mastermind. That's what we do every week, actually twice a week, get together with like-minded people so that they can all contribute to helping you figure out the best possible way to achieve your desire. And then it's the mystery of sex transmutation. And without explanation, that might be misleading. That might be misleading. But that chapter is really about understanding the energy that goes into drawing those resources to you, drawing that thing that you desire to you, as opposed to feeling like you've got to work really, really hard. I had a conversation with a coaching client literally just yesterday, and he was talking about how the less he works, the more successful he's seeming to be. And it was just odd to him. Well, it wasn't odd to me, because those principles are discussed in the chapter of the mystery of sex transmutation. Then we go to the subconscious mind, which is the connecting link. How do you tap into that part of your brain, actually the largest part of your brain, that many people don't think about? They try to tap into it by happenstance. But there's a direct way, there's a specific way that you can actually access your subconscious mind anytime you need that type of inspiration. The next principle is understanding the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station for thought, and that leads to the sixth sense. And that is almost like intuition, but it's the door to the temple of wisdom. It's the door to infinite information, infinite knowledge, and we've got the ability to tap into that. And like I said, usually that's where I stop, but the epilogue in this book is so rich. One of the areas that Napoleon Hill taps into is this idea of fear and how do you overcome fear. And that leads me back to my question for you, Marcia. Pagin brought up the question around how do you manage your love, your desire to please your family and to represent them honorably. But family, they usually love you so much they want to protect you from the things that they see as roadblocks, that they see as being danger. So they're going to say, they may say, hey, you know, don't dream too big. You know, don't go into this area that no one else has ever been into. You know, don't tell the world that you want to do this thing that no one's ever seen because they might think you're kind of crazy. How do you manage that, not only in your life, but as you're raising future kings and queens? Mm-hmm. How do you set the standard for them as to how they should live their life without dampening down this passion that they might be still creating?
Wow, that's an amazing question. Powerful. I think for me, I've always been very individualistic. So for me, it's challenging to balance that between other people's expectations of you and where you are, where you're trying to go. But at the end of the day, I have to live my life. I have to own my choices and recognize that I'm going to deal with the consequences of those choices. And so I give everyone, I think I frustrate the heck out of my sisters a lot because I'm a rebel at heart. I am definitely rebellious. But what I know about being rebellious and going against the grain is that everyone that has ever impacted this world in a meaningful way, they went against the grain. So I think I'm in great company, even though it burns them that I can be so bullheaded and so fearless. You know, it's almost like the child that doesn't understand touching the stove is going to burn. You always want to know what degree of the burn it's going to be. Well, that's kind of my personality.
How is hot, exactly. Right?
How hot is really hot? So that's, you know, so I do throw caution to the wind a lot. Sometimes it would serve me better to not be as adventurous as I am in some of my, and not be, just exercise more caution in my decision making. But you never lose. You're either going to win or you're going to learn. So let's learn away or win away. Either way, you're not losing. So that's what I do. And my children and I are incredibly close. And they've seen my life. They've experienced it. And I've always told them, to thine own self be true. And while I will not always agree with your choices, I will always love you and I will always support you. And if you're living your truth and you're being your authentic self, I can't help but to surrender to that and honor that. And I do that for myself, but I also extend that courtesy to others. So they know me and they know how I'm going to be. So they've been conditioned. That's just Marcia. That's just Marcia being Marcia. So I encourage people to just go for it. Be yourself and don't be afraid. You're only going to learn or you're going to win.
Well, that's fantastic advice. It reminds me of some advice that my mom gave to me. I don't know that she had the same intentions, though. She used to always say, okay, you do whatever you think you're bad enough to do, right? So I don't know if they had the exact same meaning, but similar. Dr. Peter, what do you have for this conversation, man?
Yeah, this is phenomenal, Marcia. Thank you so much again for joining us today. I think we are kindred spirits a little bit. I have a little bit of that rebel, actually a lot of bit of that rebel in me. I have a problem with authority. I got a problem. I want to do it. I want to create my own path to a certain extent. And you know, there's some pros and cons to that, but you're right. You either win or you learn. And I love that. And I hope those of you who are listening can really envision that you win or you learn. There's no losing. There's no failure. It's just reset and start again.
Absolutely.
Reset and start again. What I also love about what you've been talking about relative to this chapter, and I dive into the chapter, and one of the things that really resonates with me that I'm hearing from you is this. It's one sentence. It's right before the eight factors of the persistence. It says, persistence is a state of mind.
Absolutely.
Right? Persistence is a state of mind. And what precedes that is a story about a young lady who had to be persistent in her singing career. And she may not have been the best singer, but she was so persistent that she ultimately achieved her dream. And many of us in society, we don't. We are not persistent enough. We give up. We stop. We stop too early. Even if it's years in the making, we pause. So I want to know with you, Marcia, maybe a story, example, or something in your life that you had to be persistent about in order to achieve something. You know, what did that look like for you? So I'm just dying to hear. I know you have plenty of stories like that, so just give us one of them.
Okay. So one story that comes to mind happened maybe not so long ago. That was in my not so distant past.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my job, and it resulted in me being unemployed for 3 months. Now, I do have a village. I had the love and support of my amazing family, my sisters, my aunts, my brothers. I had that, but I'm also incredibly proud, incredibly independent. So I was one of those people that, no, I got it, I'll figure it out, da 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 da. And you know, it was a very humbling experience. And for me, I was getting job offers, right? But they were not paying me at the rate that I thought I needed to be paid in order to survive. So that went on for 3 months. You're talking about possibly not having a place to stay because I'm not paying, you know, my landlord. And, you know, through thinking, you know, just being resourceful, looking at how I can make things happen, being honest, you know, taking accountability for what was going on, speaking to my creditors, my landlord, and just getting through that was very, 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 it was very difficult, but it was one of the most powerful experiences because mm-hmm. I was humbled by it. But what I learned was that if you keep going and you have faith and you have persistence, and you don't stop, if you just keep moving one pinky toe at a time, let's forget one step, one pinky toe at a time, you will get where you need to be. But if you quit, you'll never know.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
For me, a winner never quits, and a quitter never wins, right? So it was about me also cultivating a spirit of abundance. Here it is. You have nothing. And at the time, my daughter was a first-year student at the University of Florida. And she's in college. I have to try and keep her motivated and put out this front, like, oh, yeah, we're good. Everything is great. And then my 14-year-old son at the time is there. And I'm like, okay, how am I going to create the happiest, most harmonious, most abundant space for this child so that in spite of what we did not have, it was not something that, you know, was a constant in his mind. I had to surround him with abundance. And that's when I started really, really focusing on cultivating an abundant mindset, raising my energy level to where, you know, my frequency, to where I'm not looking for anything outside of me. You know what I mean? Everything I wanted, I had to become. And that was a very transformational time for me. And my happiness was within my control. My success was within my control. And I found that when you raise your vibrational frequency to where you want to be, the universe listens, God listens, and that's what it responds to. If you're focusing on what you want, you'll never get it. You have to become You have to start that process of becoming what you want it to be. And that's what I had to do. I had to feel abundant, become abundant, in this, knowing my reality was like, well, we're not too abundant right now, Marsha. I had to create that fairy tale in my world for me and my son. I'm talking about when my Netflix wasn't working, okay, let's do some rapping. And it was very creative. It was, and he was laughing. He's like, Mom, you're funny. You know, and we had to do that. But in so doing that, I never thought again after that moment about what I didn't have, because it didn't matter. Because there was so much I had. And when I focused on that, everything else around me responded to that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you have to tell yourself what you are, not what you want.
I have to jump in here because, Marsha, what you're doing is you're embodying the principles of the book. And I do notice that your mastermind buddy is on the line. So I don't know if you know that. So if you want to give her a shout out, because that speaks to the question I was going to ask, if you can share the impact that having a mastermind partner in this book as a part of your mastermind group, how has that helped you with your persistence, or has it?
Wow. Hi, Miss Carrie. She is, oh, wow. Carrie is awesome. So for me, I lucked out tremendously, because not only did I have a mastermind buddy, but she became a real friend. And during those times of, you know, when things were not looking the way I want them to look or the way I wanted them to be, she was definitely one of those positive people, and that, you know, just my cheerleader. So love you, Carrie. Thank you for being there. And as far as my experience in the masterminding group, and particularly with my buddy, like I say, it's having an accountability partner. It's someone caring about you enough to say, these are the goals that you said you have, Marsha. What about this? What about this working out you were going to do? What about this class you said you were going to do? And it is about embracing that, because that's what you signed up for, and being honest with yourself about that. So to me, it was phenomenal. It's also about not getting on an accountability call and not, there's a little bit of shame and, well, I didn't read the book. I didn't exercise like I said I was. After a while, you become embarrassed. You almost don't want to say that anymore. So at a certain point, you have to kind of move through the process and actually do what you're saying you're going to do. So it's been an awesome experience so far.
Just have to end my comments with this. Why you want to talk about me like that? All right, back to you, Ursula.
Well, yes, I was resonating with, it was resonating with me when you talked about touching the hot stove, because I have the scar to prove that I did that. We had a little wash tub underneath a pot-bellied stove, and I would put my elbow up, and the scar is there. But what I learned from that, because I'm an author and I coach other people to write their books, I use that. I say, tell me your scar story. Look at every scar on your body, and how did you get it, and what lessons did you learn from it? So in the spirit of Think and Grow Rich, what professional scars, I know you told us about one where you lost your job, but some scars that you experienced, and then how you stepped around it. If somebody stepped in front of you, how did you step around it? How did you persist?
Wow. That's a very deep question. I was with one employer for about 20 years. And in order to have that type of longevity in any industry in this day and age, there were a lot of stepping on toes. There were a lot of, you know, situations. And one particular instance, in every position that I was in that particular company, I was always like a subject matter expert, you know, someone that would coach others. And unfortunately, in one of the groups that I was in, my manager at that particular time, I don't know what it was, but for whatever reason, it's almost like she felt like I showed her up or so, something of the sort. It was just that. And so it became difficult to remain in that group and do the best work that I know I could do. And I decided to leave. I decided to look for another opportunity within the company. And sometimes that's what you have to do. You have to align yourself with situations and people that are going to bring out your personal best. And sometimes that means you detach peacefully from others. And for me, that's a constant. If I'm in any type of professional, personal relationship, and it doesn't align with my higher self, I will peacefully detach with love, with respect, and align myself with other situations, other professions, other opportunities that are more better aligned with me.
Now, it's funny to hear you say this, because I think in some arenas, one would say, you quit. And I have an example in my own family where the person did exactly what you did, and we thought that was messed up. But as it turns out, she was the best person to evaluate the situation she was in. She removed herself, moved over, and actually ended up becoming an award-winning employee because she made that move.
Wow.
Nobody supported her.
Wow.
I mean, now, we didn't alienate her. We love her. But did we agree with it? Heck no. So sometimes you have to do what you do in spite of what others think. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. That was it.
I think for me, persistence is also, it's not about staying in situations or be it professional, personal, that are not serving you well. It's not about staying. Persistence is about, okay, this doesn't work. Let's reassess and find something that does. So sometimes you have to shift gears. This is a part of the masterminding process. I have to look at what was working, what was not, and make an adjustment accordingly. But to stay in something or stay in a job that isn't serving your higher purpose, that you're not passionate about, that energy is energy. So that energy that you're giving, you're putting into that job, whoever is on the receiving end of that energy, it's probably not enjoying what they're getting from you either. Mm-hmm. So you're doing yourself a favor by aligning yourself in something that is going to work more positively for you and the person that's going to be receiving your gifts and services, so to speak.
So this reminds me of Delator McNeil, and then we're going to move on to something else that brings us together. But he would say, go where you're celebrated instead of tolerated.
Absolutely.
And that's what this reminds me of. So at this point, go ahead.
And sometimes that celebration comes from within. Sometimes you won't have someone that's going to say, hey, go, Marcia, you go. No, sometimes, a lot of times, Marcia has to say, you go, Marcia. That's right. You did that. And I do that a lot at my current job. Like, if I did something outstanding and I'm not looking for someone to acknowledge that and give me a commendation, I literally sit there and I write it myself. I read it to myself. And that's empowering me. For me, it's about not externalizing your power, taking accountability for all things related to you, your happiness, how you're feeling, how you're thinking, how you're being. It's about you just loving on you all the way up. And you have to do that. You have to build you up. It's no one's job to come in your life and make you a champion. You have to be a champion of you. And part of that is, you know, being a champion of your own mind. And once you do that, there's nothing you can't do. And I have to do that. I have to be a champion of you.
Marcia, I'm going like this. I'm lifting my hands up. You are just like, you are talking my language, my space. Well, I can tell you all about my co-hosts. I mean, you can see us all, and you can see us all have this sweet smile of, yeah. But I want to just tell you about, and everybody watching, you know, there is something that is called the International Masterminders Association. Mm-hmm. And that is the association of all of us that are involved with masterminds, founded by the Ann McNeil. And did you know that every single January, the first 3 weekends of January, there is an event where everybody comes together. And I have not been, so I will let you know, I am not preaching to you something that I have. I'm going, and I'll tell you why I'm going, because of everything you just said. I get to design my life. I get to design where I want to go. I get to celebrate me. And it happens when every year they get together. And this year it's on January 8th at 6 p.m. EST to Saturday and January 9th. And this is all of my fellow cohorts here have gone. And, you know, I'm jealous. I'm hearing that they bring their accountability sheets. They know where they're going. They listen. And I've done that for years, but I've done it alone. I'm jealous because, you know, okay, jealous, a little bit scared. And I'll just admit it. Not that I'm scared about a lot of things, but, you know, when you got to stand and say, this is what I've declared, this is my intention, this is where I've said I was going to be, what is my persistence in this throughout the year, and looking at all aspects of your life, right? This is what I'm loving what you're saying is, while Think and Grow Rich, we talk about the monetary and the book, it's bigger than that. A rich life is a life of finances, a life of physical prowess, a life of absolute adoration and love to people around you, a life that fulfills you of doing what you want to do, a life that makes you feel giddy, a life that allows you to stretch your body and reach, a life that celebrates who you are. And this Think and Grow Rich annual event, this accountability event, is all about that. It's a saying, this is who I am. And last week, so this just did it for me. I'm just going to tell you, Marsha, fell off the chair and just did it for me. You know, Galen is the mom, right? But Galen shares us that he received a letter that he wrote himself at this event last year. And
Galen is usually very serious, I guess, you know.
And then he opens up this letter and he's reading it, and you could feel the love he had for himself, as well as the awe of what he stated for himself and the blessing that he received from having received the letter. You know, it was his celebration of him, but it was more than that. It was the understanding that his vibrations were being exuded in a way to receive. And, you know, my thing is, you got something that I like, I want that. I want that, you know, and I know, you know, Ann McNeil and I had a conversation the other day. She has a 1 year, a 5 year, a 10 year, a 40 year. I also have a 40 year, and like Ann, you know, her 40 year is here. I plan on living to 114. I want to manage what I know that got me to here. What do I need to get to where I want to go in the way that I want to be? What's the vibe I want to put out? And so I'm encouraging everybody, you know, just because there are people that have gone before, I don't have a clue what it's going to go like. So I'm going to tell you all this. You sign up to be there. You and me will be the virgins together. We'll just hold our hands and watch what all these people are doing and not know what they're, but you find me. Because I got it. I understand it. It will look like they all got it going on. And you and I will feel like we don't know what the heck is going on. So I'll be there as a virgin. We can hold our hands together. There'll be let's make it 100 of us holding hands saying, you think you got it, and we're the virgins. You better start showing us and teaching us in a way so we can live magnificent lives. Oh, and did I tell you something, Marsha? People bring their little kids then. And the kids don't play. Well, they do play, but they write their own accountability piece. They write their own accountability piece. So let's bring all the families. Let's you know, everybody talks about change the world. Change you, change the world. Look forward to seeing you there. Thank you.
I just realized that, I'm sorry, I just realized Marsha was there.
I was. Last year I was.
Do you mind sharing a moment? Is that all right, everybody? She shares the moment. I just realized as McGee was talking, I'm looking at you saying, oh, my goodness, you were there, too.
The accountability meeting, the annual accountability meeting, is awesome because you get to see people from all walks of life at different stage in the process. So there will be tons of people that have never, they don't know what masterminding is. And then you have people that's been doing it for 30, 40 years. So to see that scale and that diversity is amazing. And you see people taking baby steps, but you also see people who have accomplished a whole lot. And it's inspiring and it's also motivational. So I was a panelist, if I'm not mistaken, the last time. And it was a blast for me. It was I was very new to masterminding, and it's great to be among like-minded people. It's an amazing experience and feeling to be around people that want to be better and want better for themselves. And you feed off of that energy. And you can't help yourself. It's just going to, like, when that happy song comes on and you start dancing, that's going to be you masterminding away. So it was a phenomenal experience. Absolutely.
What I was thinking when Pekin was talking about being there for the first time, what have you, well, I thought, okay, so everybody need to be prepared for the sonic boom that takes place when she gets it on the ninth and takes off like a rocket. And then she started talking about holding hands with people. Okay, so now I have this visual of a sonic boom happening because the game is flying through the air and she has a trail of people holding her hands, so you are in for a ride. But, you know, it's an individual experience, and we all learn in different ways, and there will be someone of like mind there, I guarantee it, because I've been there, done that, and I've found that too.
Okay.
Yeah. So as we begin to wrap it up, Marcia, is there something else that maybe we haven't asked you that you'd like to share? And if anything, tell us how to reach you.
You can reach me at marciawalsh@gmail.com. As far as what I'd like to share with the listening audience, you know, just whatever you do, keep moving. Keep moving. Don't stop, because something will happen. It's like push, pray until something happens, push until something happens. Just keep going, and that's what persistence is. Persistence is what takes your desires to your destiny. That is the vehicle you will arrive in. So please just keep motivated, keep going, and be your own cheerleader. Don't wait for someone else to do it for you. Be your own champion and just go get it, because there's nothing you can't be. You're the architect of this life that you have. You are the co-creator. Don't forget that. Don't externalize your power. You know, reclaim it.
All right. And thank you so very much. We've had a wonderful morning talking to you and finding out all of these wonderful things and being motivated by you. You must come again.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, I just have a question, though. If we have some comments in the chat, actually, people are saying that they're coming, they have the ticket, and also we want to engage the audience, both on Facebook, on the radio, and in Zoom, that if you have a question for Marcia or our panelists, please let us know before we wrap up. We will gladly take your question or comment.
Absolutely. And as our panelists begin to tell us about their moment and how to reach them, you can press 1 or put your information in the chat and we'll be watching for it. Peter.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ursula. Thank you so much, Marcia. Marcia, I got a page full of notes here, and so I'm just going to give them to you really quick, what I got from you, and I love to take notes, so just forgive me for that as well. So many gems, so many pearls out of what you said. I heard about having that persistence mindset, but also I heard from you that abundance mindset, which is so huge, but with the ability to be able to shift as needed as the environment presents itself to you. Also heard aligning yourself with those who are authentic to you. And it's a great experience to be around others who really want more for themselves also. Then I also heard, of course, from Pagin that, you know, come join the Virgin Experience at the Think and Grow Rich Accountability Meeting. So those, all those things resonated with me wholeheartedly. Hey, folks, if you want to get in touch with me, my name again is Dr. Peter A. James. You can reach me at Dr. Peter A. James at DrPeterAJames on all social media platforms. And also my website is shiftyourmindset.com. Galen, how do we get in touch with you, man? And what are you taking away?
Oh, my gosh, I've taken away so much. You know, one of the things that just, first of all, just Marsha, your energy is just out of this world. You could very easily be a member of my own family with how just how over the top everyone seems to be. But one of the things that I took from this is just kind of a reinforcement that learning is only accomplished in persistence. I've never ever experienced anyone who has done something naturally, easily, and got it right the first time and said, well, let's take a look at what happened here and see what I can learn from that experience. It's usually been a situation where it didn't work the first time, it didn't work the second time, it didn't work the third time, and the fourth time you got your butt kicked, that you stop and say, okay, let's figure something out, right? That's where the learning usually comes from. And this is, persistence is a skill that can be developed. There are some contemporary books that have been written about persistence. One is this book called Grit by Angela Duckworth, and it just talks about that very thing. How do you persist? How do you continue to persist? And she's actually done studies that said that those people that, who are successful aren't necessarily the people that are the smartest. It's the people that have persisted. And then there's another book that is less academic, but definitely a favorite of mine, called Relentless by Tim Grover. And he talks about how these elite athletes have this expectation of excellence that have been developed over hours and hours and hours of persisting at their craft. So this is not something that you just have naturally. Marsha has had some of this naturally, but she's worked at it. She's developed it, and you can do it too. My name is Galen Bingham. I'm the leadership strategist. I can be reached at galen@killglobalcoaching.com. That's K-I-L-N, globalcoaching.com. I will help you bake permanent success into your life and work. Pagin, what about you? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
The best way to get hold of me is just type in P-E-G-I-N-E, because I'm all over there. The second thing to get in touch is just to check out powerwomenworldwide.com. The third way is just comment, share, and tell, you know, hey, Pagin, P-E-G-I-N-E, let's check it out. Now, here's something else that I wanted to share with you was persistence is the power of knowing I can go over, under, around, through. I can lean on source in a way, and I'll fly over if I need to have to. But if you think you're going to stop me, you don't know. One and I had lost out of some big contracts. Things were really rough at one point in my life. And I was angry isn't the word, but it was more like, you think it's going to get done. And I went out. It was pouring rain in Florida. I was walking, and I had my fist, and I went out for a walk. And I remember walking, pouring rain, thunder is going around. I'm saying, you think this is getting me down? You don't know me. Come on. You know me already. You know I'm not going to stop. You know I'm going to keep on. You think this is going to get me down? I've been through worse. I know where I'm going. No, we are just going crazy. Don't even think. Should just move it out of the way. Give me the sunshine, because I'm never giving up. And I remember doing that, and then like 3 days later, we got another contract, which was like, whew, there. But I think that your, Marsha, what you were sharing and how you were showing up and being the rebel, it's people put down the idea of rebel, but the rebel is the fight within that says, conform, be quiet, don't give up. But the fire in you, the fire to desire, the fire to be on the level, the fire to go is must be heard, must be seen, must be shared, and it's your sword. I call it, you know, women have, you know, everybody talks about a shield, the tower, you know, like one woman has her shield. I say, I put up this is my shield of positivity. I will deflect, I will move it out of my way. This is my shield of positivity, and I'm going to push process. So you are going to fall in love with me, or you're not. Just get out of my way, because I know where I'm going. That's all I got to say. Boom.
And I got to follow that.
You'll learn like I learned. Never follow the demon.
Well, I tell you what, Marcia, the thing that stood out for me is when you said basically you have to motivate yourself and have to be your own cheerleader. And it reminded me of a very low moment in my life where talking to the person and the source of the problem was not going to help. So I sat down and I wrote something that was called self-motivation. And I'm not going to say the whole thing, but it went something like, my name is Ursula. My name is Ursula. And that is, it means little she bear. I am the epitome of strength. I am gentle with, treat me well. I'm named for Ursula Stevens. She's the Big Dipper. I'm the Little Dipper. She's the North Star, and, you know, all of those kinds of things. But what it amounts to is that whenever times are hard, I'll go back to that and read who I am. My maiden name was Knox, and I was sit on a hill and I see all that comes around me and be prepared for whatever approaches, whatever I could do to motivate myself is what was in that poem. And so when you said that, I said, yeah, that was good for me at that moment. And people need to know that sometimes you need to do that. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that reminder. And I am Ursula Odom, and I am CEO of Sula 2, and we make old, new, and everything we do in that we capture, preserve, and present legacy information in any form possible. That's why I love what we do on Saturday mornings, because we capture those stories, we bring them to you, we embody them, we share them, we love them, and they motivate the future. Thank you for being a part, and thank you for bringing it to us, Marcia. And you can reach me at Sula 2, as in Sula also. That's SULATOO.com. And that's my tagline all over, Sula 2. So with that being said, what a wonderful Saturday morning we've had again. And I have an idea for you. Next Saturday morning, you know we're going to be here. So why don't you have a watch party? Turn this into your breakfast club. And then after the meeting, after we have this discussion, you can talk among yourselves about what we've talked about and how it resonates in your life. Make this a bigger moment for you. Make it relevant to you and your life. So don't
talk
alone.
You're from the master builder?
Oh, you know I'm just trying to finish your comment.
I'm so sorry.
The roof on the building, so... Marcia, this is what happens when you persist with the spirit of excellence. You wait patiently, you see. So thank you so much. Marcia, my takeaways are phenomenal, and ditto everything, everybody. So one, and I want everybody to tweet this, but the one comment you made in the very beginning, and I wrote it over and over, and I'm going to look at it as I read it. One pinky toe at a time. Okay. Because when we are persistent, pick up the phone and make that call. Pick up a pen and write that letter. Put on your sneakers, tie them up, and go for that walk. Pick up that book and read a page a day. Pick up that journal and journal a line a day. Make that investment in yourself and also in your portfolio. That's one pinky toe at a time. It's not the big things we do. It's the little decisions we make moment by moment, and that represented in your comment, one pinky toe at a time. I want, though, before we wrap up, if everybody can bear with me, we have a lot of people who joined us
on the radio. We want to thank you. And again, if you have any comments before Ursula wraps us up, please press 1 on your dial and we'll take that. We are over a little, but we want to let everybody know who's in Zoom chat. We appreciate all your comments. And we actually want you to tweet, to post, and share the show. Please like us on all of your media platforms. You can find me, and I did put my phone number, and I renamed myself on my Zoom here, and I put my phone number there and my website, which is annmcneil.com. But I don't want to finish until I keep a commitment that I made with the King 2 days ago. She and I both publicly made an agreement that we would share each other's information as we sell and make our offering. So this is my offering to King. If any of you would like to get greater clarity in your highest income-producing areas in your business and your life, you can reach out to me at annmcneil.com, and we can have a discovery conversation. Back to you, Ursula. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other comments? Or
wait, there is. There is. I have to make my commitment, too.
Okay. Go ahead.
If you want to be bold, brave, seen and heard, and you want to be surrounded by powerful women that will support you, you want to go to powerwomenelite.com. Thank you.
Hi. So, hey, no commercial here, but I just want to make one comment, because we started this show with Marsha saying that she thought her sister was all that in a bag of chips. I'm going to suggest that you are at least a KFC biscuit. So.
It's
amazing.
Great job. Thank you. I'll take it. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right. So with that being said, then come back next week. It'll be just as much fun. And especially if you are putting in your comments and letting us know what you want us to talk about too. All right. See you next week. Take care.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.